Good. All righty. We're ready for the word. Are you ready for the word? All right. Good. We're going to be in all over, but we'll start off in John 16, and that's area of the Bible will be the most used, but we'll be in a lot of places. I don't have a good title for this message. I just titled it Emotions, Fruit, and Truth. And John 16, Emotions, Fruit, and Truth, John 16, and verse 16, we'll start there. A little while, and ye shall not see me, Jesus telling them he's going away. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith, A little while? Ye cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. He said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a child is born unto her. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about this passage. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for, Lord, that we have, it's not a matter of can we find something that says this, but which do we use? Because your word just gives us such clarity on life. And Lord, these are things we need clarity on, and we need to swim upstream in our thinking on this, Father, and against what we're traditionally taught and think and do, Father. And we pray your word would be a light today, and we would see what we need, and we would be changed. I pray today somebody that doesn't know you as Savior would know you. I pray those that know you today, Father, we would all just have renewed thinking and be fixed and be more godly and more like Jesus and understand why you taught us and why you said these things at this tough time when they were about to go through. I just ask for you to speak. Give me your power. Speak through me. Use me above what I deserve and bless us with the word and clarity in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was emphasizing the sorrow that they were going to feel. And he didn't hide it. The sorrow they would feel and because he was gonna go away. And they were gonna feel that sorrow because he was leaving them. And we always miss somebody that we know and when they leave us, but we don't have anybody in our lives like Jesus was to them. They lived with him, he was their friend, and he was their God for 3.5 years. And now he says, I'm going away. That's tough to have that happen. And so he emphasized that. And I find we kind of like to be optimistic, and that's good. And we'll talk about that, and that's positive. That's something we'll talk about a little bit. But we've gone a little beyond optimistic where we've gotten to the point where we don't want to be realistic. And sometimes we don't even want to hear the bad things. And we drown away thinking about anything bad, either by entertainment or medication, is usually the way we do it now. And so we don't have to think about things. And with my sickness that I picked up there, and the thing is, my wrists are bad, and so I always have something in my wrists or hands. And so everywhere I go, people ask, what happened? Doesn't matter if I'm a cash register, or I'm shaking somebody's hand, or I'm meeting somebody. Every day in my life, people ask me, what happened? And there's no short answer to explain chikungunya. And they wonder if I'm still sick and if it's going to go. But they always ask, I said it gets my joints, and my joints now are, arthritic. And they always ask, is it going to go away, though? And I said, I think so. And because everybody wants to be positive and happy. And that's normal. That's human. And I don't think that's bad. It's not bad to enter into the situations and say, this is bad, but there is hope. I think that's good in life. The problem is we've kind of ducked behind that and gone farther of, we don't want to think anything bad, so don't tell me anything that's not positive. And if anything's not positive and there's no good fairy tale ending to this story, then don't tell me that either. Because I don't want to hear it. I only want to hear good news. I only hear positive things. And I don't think you should be dark and Eeyore and miserable and stuff like that. I mean, God's good and life's hopeful, and we'll talk a lot about that. But neither do you hide from bad news and bad situations. I think because we're not strong enough to handle burdens anymore, we've gotten to this point. Listen, if we all of a sudden went through, if 1929 happened right now, people jumped off buildings then, but people then were a lot stronger emotionally. We would have mass suicide, because people can't handle bad, depression, terrible things. They can't handle it. Everybody wants to be positive. And if things aren't going to be positive, then medicate me out of it, legally or illegally. It doesn't matter. I just don't want to think bad thoughts. And since we've gotten so weak, many people can't handle reality of hard things and bad things. People sometimes, they don't want to know that what they're doing is wrong, because they're not strong enough to think, I've been doing something bad, because they're so soft. Okay, and so many churches have adapted that, and they go to and many people want to go to the church where they feel, it makes them feel good about themselves, and that's kind of where we are. That's where we've gotten to. And I find there's times when you can't handle bad news, and there's times you can't handle that. But a lifetime is not, in years. So you used to be able to take a young man of God, and he would read about the country he's going to go to, and God's moved his heart for Taiwan, and he wants to go to Taiwan. And so he'd look, and the information says, how many Christians in Taiwan? Oh, this is heartbreaking. And he began to beg God and get a broken heart for his country and beg God to bring revival there. And he's got to go there. And he would surrender to go there with a broken heart and go there and go there and labor there and see God do something, because he's so brokenhearted that he begged for the power of God. And God did something big, because this man had God's heart for the harvest. Do you know you can't do that with pastors anymore? They aren't strong enough to be brokenhearted. The pastors aren't anymore. You don't meet pastors who are broken, have a broken heart anymore. And the heart of Jesus, where he wept and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Where he looked and saw the harvest, and he was moved with compassion toward them. Why? Because they were sheep having no shepherd. People are not strong enough to handle bad news and dark things. But I don't think you change things unless you are able to know something's wrong. But you have to be strong enough when something's wrong to say, okay, this is bad, let's do something about it. I found I have to limit myself when people want fixed is how much they can handle, because a lot of people can't handle a lot. I want my life changed. I want everything different. Okay, you have to start doing this and start doing this, and this has got to change. And you have to give up this. And their eyes glaze over and they say, I just want to get better. Well, there's some things you have to change. You know, the doctor tells you, you know, you got diabetes and you're, you know, it's terrible and chronic. You might have to change your diet and take some insulin and do something else. You might have to do something. No, I just, will I get better? Well, your pancreas is not working. Don't tell me bad news. Just make me feel good. How's my other organs working? And so Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus came along and said, hey guys, I'm leaving you. And it's going to be tough. He doesn't pull any punches. He says, I'm leaving you. People are going to hate you. You're going to be despised. You're going to be lonely. It's going to go really bad, but then it's going to be better, because I'm going to give you what you need. And he really emphasizes this. He says, be hopeful, be joyful, be victorious, but understand, I'm leaving. I'm gone. You're going to be without me walking around with you anymore. You're going to have to be the ones to do the miracles. You're going to have to be the one to preach the gospel. You're going to have to do this. And all through John 14, 15, 16, he does that. Then at the end, he prays for him in John 17. And he teaches them that, and he does that. And so, for example, let's go to John 14 and verse 1. He begins the story, "Let not your heart be troubled." But what did he just tell them? He says, well, I'm leaving and you're going to deny me. But then he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also." So he says, okay, I'm leaving. But do not be troubled because I'm leaving, because I'm going to heaven. I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. Okay, let's go back to our text there in John 16. "A little while, you're not going to see me, then you'll see me, and I'll be resurrected, and then I go to the Father." Verse 16. Verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Like a woman, when she has a baby, she's in great pain and sorrow. When the babies come, she forgets the sorrow because the joy that's come. The joy is greater than the sorrow, and she forgets the sorrow because the joy is more powerful than the sorrow. So understand, you're going to sorrow, you're going to have hard times, but you're going to get something better back that is greater than what you have sorrow. So it's okay. It's okay. Don't be at the end of yourselves. We'll read it again a little later, but verse 33 in John 16. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Do you see? Here's this pattern. You're going to go through this stuff. You're going to have sorrow. But I've given you something greater that is greater than the sorrow, so it's going to be okay. He's not denying the sorrow. He's not denying the tribulation. He says that your emotions are going to be messed up, but I'm giving you something greater than your emotions. It's okay. I'm going to give you several things. For example, chapter 15, he's going to give us the Holy Spirit when he goes away. John 15, it's verse 6, chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So I need to go away so I can send you the Holy Spirit. So it's necessary that I go away. You're going to sorrow because of that, but I'm going to give you something better. It's the Holy Spirit, because he's going to dwell with you always, and I'm going to send him, and he's going to comfort you. Back to chapter 14. He says in verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Verse 17, verse 16, "I will pray the Father, who will send you the Comforter, even the Spirit of truth, and he will dwell with you, and he'll dwell in you." He's with you now, but he's going to be inside of you. It'll be better when I'm gone, but you're going to sorrow when I'm gone. But don't let your heart be troubled, because you have heaven. You have the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 16:33, "You'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, but I've given you peace." "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but I want you to have the peace, because the peace is greater than the feelings you'll feel in tribulation. It's greater than the emotions." What else? Why else can they be okay? Even though they're going to miss Jesus and sorrow and have all the pain and sorrow of that, why is it going to be okay? Because he loves them continually. Chapter 15, verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 13, "Greater hath love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." So he says, because you have my love towards you, you'll be okay. Let's go to Romans. See the same thing in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. He talks about how bad it is in some ways. He says in verse 34, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. There it is, the reality. We as Christians right now are being slaughtered. But it cannot separate us from the love of God. Nay, verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Positive or negative? Positive with the acknowledgement of the negative. We are being slaughtered, yet we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. You know why? You're more than conquerors, though you're being slaughtered, because nothing, including slaughter and persecution and terrible troubles, can separate you from God's love. Hardship, sorrow. You don't think when they're watching their friends and families being slaughtered, they sorrow and weep? Of course. But the love of God is greater. The love of God is above that thing. Let's go back and look there in John 16. Because I want you, I quoted it, but I want you to see just how clear this is in John 16. Watch how Jesus is going to do the same thing. Bad thing, greater thing, conquering it. A bad emotion, something greater than emotions, stabilizing it. Verse 32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because a Father is with me. He says, you're all going to abandon me. Bad news? Yeah. I'm going to be slaughtered in a minute, and you're all going to abandon me, by the way, also. You're not even going to stick with me. But I'm not going to be alone. I have something greater. The Father's with me. I spoke these things, verse 33, unto you, that in me ye might have peace. What did he tell them? Look how he spoke. verse 20. Verily I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your joy shall be turned to joy. Verse 22. And now therefore ye have sorrow. What did he tell them? Bunch of bad news. But I told you this, that in me you might have peace. Look at chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, remember me that it hated me before it hated you. It says you're going to be hated. That's cheery. All this news, you're going to be hated. I'm going away. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Just like I am. Because I got something better than the emotions I'm going to feel. Something stronger than emotions. Something more powerful. Basically, you're going to have sad, troubling times, but rejoice because I'll give you something greater than how you feel. Let me take you to Hebrews now. And I'm just laying the foundation here and giving you the truth, and we'll apply it a little bit. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 18, it says that by two immutable things, which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, a great comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We have two things that we have as a hope set before us, the hope of eternal life. Which hope, verse 19, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and entereth within the veil. Other words, we have a comfort and a consolation. We have this anchor we hold on to of hope. And this hope is more than all the storms that are blowing us around. And this anchor that holds us is the hope of God and eternal life and God's promises. And it's sure and steadfast. It's greater than all that's going to blow on us. It's an anchor for your soul. It is something very powerful. Let me take it to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. What's supposed to rule in our hearts? Peace. The peace of God is the king, is in charge, is what's commanding what happens. Our hearts are ruled by the peace of God, not by emotions. Now, we're seeing this in a ton of different ways. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. Your heart in the Bible is your seat of your emotions. You do not trust the seat of your emotions because the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And who can know it? The heart is not to be trusted. The emotions are not to be trusted. You let the peace of God rule your heart. You're going to feel these tribulations. You're going to feel these trials, but don't be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, John 14:1. You're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. You're in charge. Because I have overcome the world. You have something greater than the emotions you feel. The problem with this is we are a society who's been lied to and told, follow your heart. And we let our emotions rule. Emotions are in charge of Americans. How you feel determines whether something's right or wrong. No, this determines whether something's right or wrong. I just don't feel the love for them anymore. I'm leaving. No. You don't make decisions by feelings. Feelings are on the bottom rung of what God does. Feelings, fruit, the truth of the Word of God. That's how God rules. There are these things that God gives, these fruits, these things like peace and hope and joy that are supposed to rule over our emotions. So he says, you're going to have tribulation. They're going to persecute you. They're going to cast some of you into prison. But you know what? It's okay. They're going to kill some of you. But you know what? God still loves you. And my joy will rule over that. And you can have joy in all of this. My joy is more powerful than what you feel. My peace is supposed to rule over what you emotionalize. Mr. Spafford was a man who was a very rich American businessman. He sent his kids over to America, or I'm sorry, from America to England to go, and he sent his wife and children ahead of him, and he was going to finish up some business and go later. During the ship, during the passage of the ship, a great storm hit the ship, and in the middle of that storm, a wave came over the ship and washed his two daughters overboard, but not his wife. She gets to England, she sends a telegraph back to him, and all it says is, survived alone. Spafford goes and later he takes the ship and he finds the same captain and he gets in the ship and he goes back over and he goes to the same spot where the guy says, about right here where the storm came, and where his two children are washed over, he pens those words, when peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Do you think his emotions were good? His two daughters are washed overboard there. He's only two children. But is his soul well? He has the hope of eternal life for his daughters, that he'll see his daughters again, that he's in the hand of God, that God still loves him, that God gives him a peace that passes understanding. He has something more powerful than his emotions, so he can say, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I have something more powerful ruling over my emotions. Yes, I feel terrible, but I'm fine. Not the American, I feel terrible and everything's terrible and it's terrible with me because if I feel bad, everything's wrong. Everything can feel bad and be just fine. emotions are absolutely, totally unreliable. Do not base how you're doing on how you feel. I have days where I get up and I can't even scientifically tell you the reason I'm grumpy. I'm just grumpy that day. I feel bad. Some days it's a vitamin D deficiency here in Seattle. A whole bunch of people we have more antidepressant people on antidepressants in Seattle than anywhere in America, which means anywhere in the world. Why? It's called lack of vitamin D is a big reason. And godlessness, by the way. You don't get enough sunshine. You know, you can be out there. You ever been out there one day and you're feeling pretty chipper, and all of a sudden a giant black cloud goes over the sun, and you're like, It happens occasionally here. And the weather can affect your mood. Everybody's chipper today. Why? It's sunny in September in Seattle. That's amazing. And three S's in a row, too. And so you're having, on September 17th, it's sunny in Seattle. But you feel good because of the weather. Sometimes your emotions go up and down in 5 minutes period of time. You're all like, what a great date work. That guy cut me off. I'm going to find it. You're 30 seconds apart. You went great to miserable. And things irritate you. You got a great sale, and you're sitting there, and you're all good at the store, and you're going through the line. All of a sudden, the person in line, he's got 23 items in the 15 line. And you're dwelling on it. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Hey, sign, buddy, 15 or less. You forgot all about the big deal you got, huh? How many of you get mad and count the people in front of you? Nobody's going to admit it. Okay. I do. And so, why? Because your emotions, all of a sudden, the great sale has gone away, and now the person in front of you. Or, that was not $2.99, that was $1.99. They're going to do a price check. Everybody in front of me does a price check. Everybody. That's just part of my life. Price checks are part of my life. I get in line, price checks. And I'll pay the difference. Just go. And all of a sudden, your emotions change. You were doing great, and you go out to your car, and it goes, oh, no, this stupid car. And then you start going downhill. I knew it. I'm such so stupid. I should have got a different car, and I should have bought this thing. Now I have a terrible car, and I'm not going to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to get fired and get depressed, and I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. I'm going to get evicted. I'm going to be homeless. I'm going to get depressed. I'm going to die. Your car didn't start. Calm down. You're a good 5 minutes ago. Why? Your emotions are completely unreliable. And some people are more stable emotionally. Some aren't. Some genders are more stable emotionally. Some aren't. I'm not saying which. And don't rely. Don't let emotions rule your life. You will not feel like being a mommy sometimes. Like about diaper changing time. You don't. Now, 85% of the time you feel like being a mommy. Should you decide not to be a mommy because during that, all of a sudden, adoption, where's Craigslist? No. You don't let your emotions. You don't let your emotions determine all of a sudden because you don't. So many times people are making bad mistakes. They'll come and they'll tell me about the bad mistake. I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And inevitably, when they're making bad mistakes, I'll say, let's start this conversation over, but I want you to have this conversation. Never use the word feel. Start again. Well, I just fit. Nope, can't use it. Well, it just seems like she doesn't love me anymore. And I feel like, nope. And it seems like I should probably move out because I used to feel. No. Stop your feel. Be of a sober mind. You don't go against the word of God because you feel. We feel all kinds of things. I feel like ramming people when they cut me off on the highway. Okay? Occasionally. I feel. Who cares what you feel? Emotions are to be ruled. not to rule you. Okay? There's a lot of things here. But we have been trained to live or die by how we feel and how is it going. When you are right, somebody could say to you, how's it going? And you say, terrible. How are you doing? Great. That's when you learn to rule. You can feel terrible. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say it is well and say, you know what? I'm blessed. You can have bad things that have happened to you and be doing okay. Why? The peace of God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not my emotions. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Your rejoicing is in stable, controllable things. Let's go to Luke. Just show you this in a lot of spots in the Bible. Your emotions are not ruling. You have emotions. I want to say this. You cannot get rid of emotions. And different ones of us are more emotional and less emotional on the outside. Never begrudge somebody of emotions. You feel what you feel. During church, just during today, I've had things that frustrated me since I got up this morning. I've had things that were stressful. I've had things that made me happy. I had things that made me laugh. It's all this stuff. There's all kinds of things in a day. It's just life. You feel things. It's normal. Some people feel very emotional. That's fine. We love people who feel very emotional. They encourage us. They laugh at our jokes. They smile. They are saying, it's a great day, when some of us are like, how you doing? But then they also weep with us when we need somebody to weep. Emotions are great. Emotions are fine. They just don't rule. Oh, where are we turning? We said Luke chapter 10. And these guys are doing miracles. They're having great things happen. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. The disciples are excited. And over all power, over all the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's something more firm than blessings in the ministry. Blessings in the ministries come and go. Blessings are you have good days and bad days. We have a good Sunday this week. Sunday, next Sunday, might have half the crowd. Better not. I'm coming after you. But it's life. You do not base your joy and your foundation of your life on how things are going, on how you feel, on your gifts and blessings that all change. Don't rejoice in your health. Enjoy it, but don't make your happiness dependent on being healthy. It'll change. Okay? Don't make your enjoy people, but don't base your happiness and your peace and your joy on people. People come and go and change. You must let the peace of God rule in your heart. You've got to let joy rule. It's more powerful. It doesn't come and go. Oh, let's see. So many verses, so little time. Let's go to Psalm 43. I'm even going to go where people aren't comfortable. Why don't I say this? Depression is not abnormal. Depression is part of the spectrum of emotions in life. You just cannot let depression destroy you. I've been depressed many times I've been serving God. But it's not that a hopeless depression of the world. It's a different, it's a feeling. Sometimes, let's go to Psalm 42. And I want to say this, and before I read the passage, you'll see it in the passage. Sometimes when you get good enough at this, where peace and joy and the presence of God and love of God and eternal life and the things that are unchanging, when you let those rule, and the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, when you let those things rule, you can almost detach yourself from yourself and say, what are you doing? Why are you so messed up? It's not that bad. When you have a sober mind. When you don't have a sober mind, you can spiral down with nothing to check you because it's all about how you feel. And your feelings are messed up for whatever reason. Chemical, could be life, could be problems, could be troubles, could be a thousand things. And there's nothing to stop you because it's all about how you feel. And you feel rotten, hopeless. Now, watch how a person sees what they're doing, understands it may not be logical, and gets their hope back. Okay? Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's depression. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. He's talking to himself. You ever talk to yourself? How many think you're a good conversationist with yourself? You can talk to yourself? All right. And hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. You know why? For the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. What's he feeling? Depression, misery. But he's talking to God about it. And he's seeing it and saying, I know I'm depressed. Soul, you got issues, man. Soul, you're really depressed. But hope in God. You're going to praise him again. It's going to be okay. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. What's he going to do? He says, God, my soul is depressed, so I'm going to remember you. He's choosing, not his emotions. You see it? You guys keep reading and keep seeing it. Who's in charge here? Verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. He's writing this in deep depression, saying, God's going to be with me. It's going to be okay. Psalm 43. And verse 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and into thy tabernacle. Then will I go into the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Depressed with hope. Who is the health of my countenance and my God? He is depressed. He's in charge. We didn't finish the last. Let's finish. Let's go the last chapter. Chapter 42, verse 8. Let's finish that. We read verse 8. Verse 9. I will say to the God of my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? He's talking to God about what he's feeling. That's fine. This is how I feel. As with a sword, as with the in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Three times, at least, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? This is not logical. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. You see the hope? Hope and depression again. Every time, feelings are miserable. And listen, I tell you, there'll be times in your life where you know why you're depressed, and you know why your feelings are terrible, and all these circumstances are all wrong, and it's tough. You know what you do? You keep on going. Hope's coming. But there'll be times when you have no idea why you're depressed, why your emotions are terrible. They just are. And sure, you can get medicated out of it one way or another, and you can do that. You can drink your way out of it. You can do a bunch of things. But you can numb it. But it's actually part of the spectrum of human life. And when you are there, if you don't let your emotions be the ruling factor in your life, I just don't feel, stop. And you get your anchor not in how you feel, but in hope in God and heaven and eternal life and a God that loves you and the Holy Spirit and all the things he gives you. You have hope. It is well with your soul, though you're depressed. And I guarantee you, Mr. Spafford was depressed, where his two daughters washed in the ocean. But it was well with his soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Jesus is coming. You have something bigger and something better than great miracles in the ministry, than bad things that are happening. So, three things to do. Number one, believe his promises. Let's go to Matthew. With what I just taught you, let the peace of God rule. Let the joy of God rule. Let the more powerful things rule. Believe his promises. Matthew 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Are you happy when people revile you, make fun of you, and mock you, and hate you? No. And persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Who likes to be falsely accused? For my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Something greater? Great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which are before you. Look at John chapter 14. Kind of where we've been a lot. John 14, 15, 16 are all about this. Let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Why not be troubled? In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. See, God has things that are not based on circumstances and feelings. Joy, peace. Look at John 16, verse 22. John 16, 22. And now ye therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and my joy no man taketh from you. If your goat is your emotion, people will get your goat. If your goat is the joy of Jesus, he says, my joy is different. My joy no man can take from you. They can persecute you, mock you, lie about you, hate your guts. It's no big deal. My joy is greater than that. And he says this several times. He says, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. It's fine. God's got a greater joy. God's got a greater peace that no man can touch. It passes understanding. You believe his promises that heaven's real. That no matter what you suffer in this life, though your health be bad, though your relationships are bad, you're going to be in a perfect place forever if you're saved. You believe his promises. Number two, be established by spiritual fruit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Remember it said, I love you anyway. We're more than conquerors to him that loved us. Joy, my joy no man takes from you. Peace, my peace give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. These things that God gives, the joy and the peace, the fruit of the Spirit, stabilizes you. Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. There is a peace. There is a joy. There are things greater. So be stabilized by spiritual fruit, by these things that God gives, love and joy and peace. And it says, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. Let me turn there, Philippians 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Be stabilized by spiritual fruits. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So what am I saying? Emotions are not the big deal. Don't worry about how you feel. Now you're going to feel it. Feel the emotions. Cry when you cry. Cry out to the Lord. Express your emotions to God. It's fine. It's normal. We are emotional creatures. God gave us emotions. It's fine. God, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The whole book of Psalms is somebody pouring out their emotions to God. It's fine. But understand, they aren't determining whether you're happy or sad or I shouldn't say, whether you have joy or not. whether you have peace or not, whether you have hope or not, whether you're going to change your life and ruin your life, whether you can keep on going, whether you're going to leave your marriage, whether you're going to keep going to church. It's not how you feel. There are Sundays when you don't feel like coming to church. You don't go to church because you feel like it. You go to church because you're commanded. I never feel like witnessing. I don't go because I feel like it. Feelings don't affect my decisions. I don't make my decisions by what I feel. I don't feel like losing weight. So I don't. But somebody doesn't feel like taking care of themselves. They don't feel like being nice to that person. You know how many times you have to be nice to people when you don't feel like it? I don't feel like being the people right now. But should you? I don't feel like reading my Bible. So? Do you not go to work and you don't feel like going to work? I don't feel like going to work. How about every time you go to work, every time you don't feel like going to work, how about you don't go to work? How's that going to work for you? How many would make it more than one day a week? Okay, so you don't just go to work and you feel like it. You don't live your life by feelings. You don't do that. And by the way, since America has become this emotionalized society that is all about feel, how you feel, churches have become an emotional experience, not a spiritual experience. They base the music, they base the preaching, preaching ain't preaching, it's teaching. They base the teaching on what it's going to make people feel. They do the lighting to get people's emotions and feel, and they go and they say, I felt something at church. But they live like the devil again Monday. You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You should know the feeling, and the feeling shall set you free. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's good. Just because you don't feel something doesn't mean it's bad. The heart is desperately wicked. Feelings are all over the place. I shouldn't ram somebody because I got mad because they cut me off in their loud little Honda. And I have a Suburban, and it'd be fun. Just because I feel it doesn't mean it's good. You do not live your life by emotions. Emotions are unstable. You live your life, you be stabilized by peace and joy and truth and the Word of God and those things. Number three, I love this point. You would think with everything, if you didn't know me, you walk in here today, you say, okay, listen to this preacher. You'd think, this guy's got to live a miserable life. He doesn't do anything but what he feels. He doesn't believe it. I'm the happiest guy around. I love this third point. Be glad when you're able to be glad. You know when everything's going good? You know what I do? I say, everything's going good. Yeah! Now, I was already happy and joyful and peaceful before everything went good. But you know what? If you haven't noticed, my joints are full of pain right now. And I'm just as glad as I was 6 months ago when they weren't. It's not determined by how you're doing. Let's look at Psalms. Watch when sometimes both things are hitting. You're hitting on all cylinders. When things are going good, when you feel good and you see everything's going well, you're happy, and you still got the spiritual blessings, then really be glad. Psalm 16 and verse 8. And it says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh shall also rest in hope. I think it's pretty good. I'm glad. Psalm 94. Psalm 94. And verse 7. Get the right verse there. I don't get the right verse written down, I don't think. Let me see. Hope I got the right verse. Go to Psalm. I got lots of them. Psalm 100. And let me take you to Psalm 100. I don't got the right verse written down there. Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness is happiness. Happiness is not a big thing in the Bible, but gladness is the closest thing to happiness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Verse 4. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be glad. Serve the Lord with gladness. Be happy you're a Christian. Be glad in the Lord. Happy in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And things are good, then have both joy and happiness. Joy is not happiness. Psalm 105, verse 43. And he brought forth his people, Psalm 105, 43. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. They're two different things. Joy is that deep, abiding, inner peace, inner joy, inner an inner stable happiness on based on eternal things, based on things that don't change. Happiness is happenings. It's sunny. Somebody just gave me money. We went to luncheon. They bought. I'm happy. Fine. Be happy. Those are all good. Be a happy person. Find those things and enjoy them. God gives you joy and he gives us happiness. I can look at my kids and have joy that they're serving the Lord and they're so wonderful and they're singing to the Lord on the way to church this morning. And I can have joy in that. And I can have happiness when one comes and sits in my lap and gives me a big kiss and tells me I'm the best daddy, or brings me their candy they got yesterday at the youth conference, or brings me the candy they got yesterday at the youth rally. And I can be happy at that. But my joy will not leave me if they do not give me candy, just my happiness. Okay? My joy is not based on Reese's. My happiness is. But there's a difference. So when things are good and your kids are giving you candy and God's and you're blessed and things are going well and you're still saved and God still loves you and the peace of God and the Holy Spirit is still with you and you got all these things, then you throw a Baptist-Costal fit. And you get real happy. Okay? And you rejoice and you're happy and you're smiling. But sometimes, how you doing? Oh, man. My car is broke. My wife hates me. I want to write a country music song. Everything's bad. Things are going bad right now. But I'm still saved. God still loves me. I'm fine. Things are going terrible, but I'm fine. That's because you're ruling over your heart. You're ruling over your emotions. Let not your heart be troubled. You're going to have sorrow and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'll give you my, in me you might have peace. There's things more powerful than those things. And when both are going good, like we Americans should have, why is the spoiled Americans are more miserable than the poor Filipinos and Haitians and other people I visit? Because those people aren't expecting everything to be hunky-dory all the time. It's a Greek word, hunky-dory. And they have joy in things bigger. And they might be saying, you know, I'm just glad all my family's healthy today. Where you're healthy, your family's healthy all the time, and you just are mad because your remote broke. And your joy is based on your 46-inch shirt. 46, it's little now. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. In me you might have peace. My joy no man takes from you. Have something greater rule in your life. Don't do what you feel like doing. Do what's right. Have truth at the top. Do what you should do whether you feel it or not. Do it till you feel it. If you have to. That's what you got to do. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, may we get this concept. It's all over the Bible, Lord. It's all over. It would be eventually the point where we're so stable in the solid things that matter that we can look at ourselves and say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hoping God, you're going to praise him again. It's going to be fine. I know I'm depressed, but help us to be that way, Lord, where we are ruled by the things that you give us, the fruits from your spirit, the truth from your word, that you still love us and make us more than conquerors, though we're being slaughtered. Lord, help us be ruled by greater things than emotions that change by sunlight and diet and how we feel and who has said hi to us today and who smiled to us at us. May we be greater and more solid in these things. And we thank you for your word. Thank you. Give us those things for hope. We didn't get to dwell on it much. On heaven. And we're going to go to heaven someday, no matter how bad it gets there. That you love us unconditionally. That we're going to get a new body someday. Lord, there's so many good things in the Bible to have hope in. That your peace that doesn't even make sense dwells in our hearts. that the Holy Spirit can give us love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Lord, may we live above emotions. Though we feel them and though we react to them, may they not rule. Please give us wisdom and strength in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.